Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August. Before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeve shirt or a light blanket, too, in case it gets cool, and find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. Ask a sky watcher what's special about August, and the response will likely be the Perseid meteor shower. These shooting stars are caused when little bits of grit shed by a comet called Swift-Tuttle slam into our atmosphere. Every August, we plow right through this stream of dusty debris. You'll always see more meteors when there's no competition from the moon, and this year is a good one for the Perseids. We call this shower the Perseids because the meteors all seem to radiate across the sky from the direction of the constellation Perseus. This apparent point of origin, which is actually just a trick of perspective, is called the radiant. The higher the radiant is in the sky, the more meteors you'll see. But you don't need to look at the radiant to see the Perseids. The best direction to watch is wherever your sky is darkest, and that's usually straight up. The shower should reach its peak late on Saturday night, August 11th, and Sunday morning, the 12th. You might see an occasional Perseid as early as 9 or 10 p.m., but the shower doesn't really get going until after 11 or midnight, after Perseus rises high in the northeast. With luck, you might spot one or two Perseids each minute after midnight. It'll get better in the wee hours as the radiant gains altitude, and so consider staying up really late. Just tell yourself, hey, it's a Saturday night. A waning crescent moon comes up by 1 or 2 a.m., but its light won't be much of a bother. And keep an eye out for a few nights before and after that peak, because the Perseid shower builds and fades slowly. If you manage to hang in there until the hours before dawn, you'll be rewarded with not one, not two, but three bright planets. Jupiter comes up first, rising in the east around midnight or 1 a.m. in mid-August, but an hour earlier a couple of weeks later. It's caught up in the horns of Taurus, the bull, with the bright reddish star Aldebaran just a bit to its lower right. Dazzling Venus rises about 3 a.m., and you'll definitely know it when you see it. This planet is also escorted by a bright reddish star, Betelgeuse, in Orion, to its right. And finally, around mid-month, you might spot Mercury lurking down by the eastern horizon about an hour before sunrise. You can spot it easier by drawing an imaginary line from Jupiter through Venus and down to its lower left. Okay, so maybe you're not a morning person. No worries, because August will be a busy sky-watching month in the evening sky as well. The other two bright planets, Mars and Saturn, are low in the west at dusk. They're joined by the star Spica, which confuses things. Here's the situation. Saturn stays on top all month, while Spica and somewhat dimmer Mars shuffle around a bit below it. Just know that all three can be a little challenging to pick out in the evening twilight, and more so toward month's end. They'll be joined by a lovely crescent moon on Monday the 21st. Speaking of confusing, you'll hear the star's name pronounced both Spica and Spica. It's a Latin word meaning ear of grain, and technically Spica is correct, but you'll find plenty of dictionaries and stargazers who say Spica. Use whatever works for you. Now, let's broaden out the view to take in some summertime stars. First, turn right from the sunset point so that you're facing roughly north. Once it starts to get really dark, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up. At the end of the handle are four stars forming its bowl. You'll find that your outstretched fist just covers the bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it toward upper right, past the lip of the bowl by about three fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and it shows you the direction toward due north. Now go back to the Dipper, and this time follow the arc of its handle up and to the left until you come to a bright star. That's called Arcturus, and it's the alpha star in the constellation Bootes, the Plowman. Let's say that one together. Bootes. Got it? It's from the Greek words meaning plow and ox. Now swing your gaze well to the left, arcing over and past the Saturn-Mars-Spica cluster. Look for a medium bright star above the southern horizon. That's Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star isn't quite white, like Spica, but slightly reddish. Antares is about a third as bright as Arcturus, but it'll look fainter than that because it's low in the sky and its light is dimmed while passing through all the haze and atmosphere. For those of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, the closer we live to the equator, the higher up you'll see this scorpion in the sky. Those of you in southern states like Texas and Florida have much better views than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than two fists. You're looking for a group of 8 medium bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your fist. From northern states and Europe, the teapot is only 1 or 2 fists above the horizon, so it helps if you look from a spot with a clear, unobstructed view towards south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you've found the main stars of Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see what look like puffs of steam coming up from the spout. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is rampant, which is most of us unfortunately, you can't see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get out under a clear, deep black sky this time of year to see all those stars streaming across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the summer triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.